say one of the most powerful forces in the universe is the power of thought. But the most powerful means to communicate that thought is story. But storytelling is really about the human experience, joy and suffering, and even life and death.
Hello and welcome back to Story Bowl, the official podcast of the International Storytelling Centre. I am the president of the organisation, Kiran Singh Sarar, and Story Bowl is just one of the ways that we're sharing stories from ISC's archives with storytelling fans and scholars all over the world. Many of the recordings we feature in the series were collected at our annual event, the National Storytelling Festival, which has been in Jonesboro, Tennessee for nearly 50 years. These recordings are maintained by our friends at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. Thanks so much for joining us today for the fourth episode of Story Vault. We're still spotlighting the late storyteller Jackie Torrance, who we first featured in episode 3. So be sure to go back and check that out if you haven't already, and have a chance to listen. Jackie became a storyteller in 1972. Just 1 year before the first annual National Storytelling Festival, when she was discovered by the children at the library where she worked. So she was already part of the storytelling movement pretty much from the beginning. This week we're going to talk about how Jackie masterfully switched between and often even blended different kinds of stories. Sometimes, but not always, in storytelling. There's a divide between traditional folk tales and more personal family stories. Some storytellers like to focus on stories about lives and on families, more personal tales. And other storytellers focus on traditional stories that have been passed down from century to century and place to place. One of Jackie's strengths as an artist was how she could switch between these styles so easily. In our last episode of Story Vault, we shared one of Jackie's family stories. She pulled a lot of material from her childhood, so the characters, her grandmother, her Aunt Sally, and many more, almost became celebrities in their own right among the people in our audience at the National Storytelling Festival. They might hear Jackie tell a story about Aunt Sally 1 year, and then hear a different one the next time round. Some people would request their favourite stories, the way we like to hear our elders share the same tales over and over again at family get-togethers. Here's one of our favourites, a quick story that Jackie told at the National Storytelling Festival in 1997.
I loved my folk stories. They were wonderful. I had an Aunt Sally, though. I know you've heard about Aunt Sally, I bet you. Aunt Sally was the fattest woman I knew. I loved her. Because all the women in my grandfather's family and my grandmother's family were sort of little. Now, my Aunt Sally was Grandpa's sister. He had 7 brothers and 1 sister. And Aunt Sally was fat. And she jiggled when she walked. I thought that was wonderful. I used to tell my grandmother, I want to look just like Aunt Sally. My grandmother said, watch out what you ask God for. He just may give it to you. God bless me with Aunt Sally's jiggle and 3 or 4 other women's too. My Aunt Sally was brown, a real golden brown color. And when she smiled, I thought the sun had set in her mouth. She had a gold tooth. And it would shine when she smiled. I'm telling you, a piece of chewing gum paper didn't stand a chance around me. Because I was always sticking that aluminum foil in there, trying to get that tooth just like Aunt Sally's. It's a wonder I didn't kill myself because I got exposed nerves. That hurts. Aunt Sally smelled good, too. She smelled like a freshly baked cake. Pound cake. I said to my grandmother, why does Aunt Sally smell so sweet? Grandma said she uses vanilla flavoring for perfume. I was 4 years old. I didn't know what that was. One day, my grandmother was making a cake, and I started asking questions, what's that? That's walnut flavoring. What's that? She said, that's coconut flavoring. Well, what's that? That's vanilla flavoring. I waited till she had a back turn and took that bottle out on the porch, went down off the porch and behind a big old tree. She couldn't see me. I opened that vanilla flavoring and I put a couple of drops of it on my head, but I couldn't smell it. So I touched my shoulders with it. I was beginning to smell like Aunt Sally. I looked at the bottle and it was full. So I just poured it all over me. I smelled like Aunt Sally. After a while, the gnats and the flies were committing suicide up against me. You ever seen fly paper that's been hanging up a long time? They were diving into me, sticking themselves on me. The gnats and the flies and the bees were after me. I went around the house at 90 miles an hour. My grandmother looked out and said, my God, child, what are you doing? You're gonna have sunstroke. She had to run to catch me. When she caught me, she took a whiff of me. My God, what have you been doing? I said, please call off these gnats. Please take these flies off of me. And the bees are gonna sting me. She said, what did you do? I said, I poured vanilla flavoring on me. She said, why? I said, I want to smell like Aunt Sally. She said, Sally just uses a little behind the ears. She don't wash in it. I said, oh, I didn't use that stuff anymore. It was dangerous.
One of the reasons that Jackie's stories about Aunt Sally were so great was because she painted a vivid picture of the woman. We'll never meet Aunt Sally in real life, but now we have a pretty good idea of what she looked like, and even what she smelled like. Those small sensory details help pull us into the world of the story. One of the great pleasures of meeting the people in Jackie's family is that we know they were the ones who shaped her into a storyteller. Jackie grew up on a farming settlement with her grandparents, and her grandfather in particular loved telling stories.
You know, I travel all over the place, and these audiences are just the best in the world. There's nothing like the Tennessee audience. Nothing like the Jonesboro audience. Perfect audiences. Well, this is the family session, and it's just works right down my line because I love telling family tales. If it weren't for my family, I couldn't be here. My grandmother and my grandfather first started all of this with me. My granddaddy used to tell me wonderful tales. My grandmother said he was the biggest liar God ever blew breath into. I loved his old lies, though. And when he told them, I wanted to be right there. My grandmother was wonderful. She told little sweet tales. And they were all right, but they weren't scary like my grandfather's tales. And guess what? Now I'm a grandmother. I'm just so proud of that. But you know, I'm not like the average grandmother. You've seen them. They carry great big pocketbooks full of pictures. And every time you say grandchild, they whip out 1,000 pictures. I just carry one. That ends it all right there. I don't have to worry about, you know, showing a bunch of them. This will do the thing. That's Boyce. He is the light of my life. I love that little boy. And you know, I'm getting back everything I did to my grandmother. And some new stuff. My grandmother used to put me in the bed at 6 o'clock in the afternoon because she couldn't stand me talking anymore. I talked morning, noon, and night. When 6 o'clock was come around, she said, all right, it's time to go. And I had a speech impediment. They didn't know what I was saying anyway. My grandfather used to tell people, don't say yes to nothing she says. Because you don't know what she's saying. My grandmother would say, all right, enough. Kiss your granddaddy goodnight and go to bed. And I'd throw my arms around granddaddy's neck and he'd say, you're going to bed, huh? And I'd say, yes, sir. And he'd say, you know what's up there? And I'd say, my bed. And he'd say, what else? And I'd say, nothing. He said, well, it's dark up there. Well, that would kind of wipe the smile off my face. And my grandmother would say, Jim, don't scare her. And then he'd say, you know what's in the dark? I'd say, no. He'd say, monsters. I'd say, granddaddy, what are they gonna do? He said, they'll pull you out of the bed. And they'll drag you across the floor. And you know what they'll do after that? No. They'll stick you in the keyhole. Well, I would go up the stairs crying. My grandmother would say, that's enough. Get on up the steps now and shut your mouth. Oh, but I don't want to go up there to the monsters. She said, there's only one up there. And I'd say, where is it? She said, I'm looking at him. I'd cry all the way up the steps into the bed. She'd cover me up. We'd say my prayers. And she'd say, now lay down and be quiet. I said, but Grandma, the monsters are going to come out and stuff me in the keyhole. She said, no chance. I said, but Grandpa told me. She said, you're too fat to go in the keyhole. I thought that was wonderful. When she'd leave, I'd sort of say, nah, 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 nah. I didn't have to worry. And for 53 years, I have successfully warded off every monster. That even came near me to put me in the keyhole.
The last tale we want to share with you today is a traditional folk tale that Jackie told at the National Storytelling Festival in 1986, The Golden Arm. This is an old folk story that Jackie might have first heard at her grandfather's knee, but it's also a pretty famous ghost story in the United States. It's actually one of Mark Twain's favourites. But it's from Europe originally, a story that was passed down through generations before the Brothers Grimm started to record old tales in that part of the world. And by the way, while you're listening, you'll notice that Jackie used a very different style than the one that she used with her family stories. A little more formal and a little less warm and familiar.
I would like to tell a story. A very old story that I heard from my grandfather. He said that many years ago there lived a man and his wife. They were an ordinary couple. And every night the man would seat himself before the fireplace and smoke his pipe and watch the smoke rings curl beneath the chimney. Now his wife was really not an ordinary person at all. For after she finished her chores about the house, she too would take her place before the fireplace. But her left arm and hand were made of pure solid gold. And she would polish and shine, and polish and shine that golden arm. One night she said to her husband as she polished that golden arm, she said, would you promise me that if I should die before you, you will bury me with my golden arm? And he said, huh? She said, promise me now that you will bury me with my golden arm. And he said, oh, yes, 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 I will. Do not worry. Well, many years passed, and they lived together, and they were quite happy. When one day the old woman died, and I suppose it was from carrying the weight of that golden arm. And the night before they buried her, her husband thought to himself, I can't let them put that gold into the ground. Why, if I had that gold from that golden arm, I could buy myself a brand new house. I could buy myself a fine new suit of clothes. I could buy myself a wagon and 10 white horses. So he went to the place, and he cut off the golden arm. And the next day his wife was buried without her golden arm. But that night he stood before the fireplace holding the golden arm and thinking to himself, I've got the gold from the golden arm. I shall buy myself a brand new house. I shall buy myself a brand new suit of clothes. I shall buy myself a wagon and 20 white horses. And just as he admired the golden arm, he just happened to look up through the window. And the sky that had been so bright with stars was now very dark. And the wind started to blow about the house. And the noise of the wind, you could barely hear a thing. But over the sound of the wind, he heard, who's got my golden arm? Oh, he said, who is that? Somebody wants my golden arm. I must hide. He looked all about the house, and there was only one place. It was a closet, and he started toward the closet. But before he opened the closet door, he looked through the window, and the sky was darker and darker, and the wind blew harder and harder. And the voice was just outside the front door. Where's my golden arm? Oh, he said, it's coming in the house. So he stepped into the closet and he slammed the door and he turned the key. Oh, he said, I'm safe. I'm safe. But inside the closet, it was dark, dark, dark. And all about the house, the wind blew harder and harder and harder. And all at once, the door, the locked closet door, started to open. And the candles had burned low and out. And the fire had gone out in the fireplace. And the wind no longer blew outside. It was quiet. But there was that voice standing in front of the closet door. Where's my golden You've got my golden arm. And the ghost of his wife grabbed that golden arm, ran down through the hallway, leaped through the window, and nobody's ever seen that ghost on the golden arm again.
We're so glad you could join us for this episode of Story Vault. If you want to learn more about the work of Jackie Torrance or our work at the International Storytelling Center, please visit our website at storytellingcenter.net. You'll find our latest news, a learning library with resources for students and teachers, and information about all our live programming. And if you haven't had a chance yet, we'll hope you're subscribed to this podcast, Story Vault. And if you've got an even extra minute or two, please let us know what you think in a review. We welcome your feedback. Until next time, this is Kiran Singh Sirar for the International Storytelling Center. Thank you for listening.